Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three. Hour number three on a hump day. Hour number three on a hump day means one thing. That's a time we go to what we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren and talk radio, and we ping each other with questions and just see where the answers fall out. So let me just go ahead and see if we got a quorum for the council. I'll turn my attention to the north. I'm at 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting, host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, also does work with Yellowhammer. Oh, by the way, has a TV gig. Dale Jackson, are you there? You are indeed. Stand at ease. All right. Looking all the way down yonder south on the Gulf of America. That would be the host of the Jeff Poor Show. That'd be on 90. Wow, I forgot what channel you were on, Jeff. 106.5.
There you go.
Thank you.
106.5.
I am so sorry. And then, oh, by the way, editor in chief for 1819 News. And I hear your voice. So, Jeff Poor, you are there.
I am present.
What a heck of an introduction. I call a quorum. Play it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right, you guys, because I botched his intro, I'm going to go ahead and say, Jeff Poor, you get to go first. What do you got?
How much longer does the Nicole Jones Wadsworth
Lieutenant
Governor campaign continue?
I actually had this on my list of questions. I thought she was going to be dropping out today. When I saw her headline on 1819 News, I thought, sure, this is the announcement that she's decided to pull. But, Lord God, I mean, I've never seen a more botched implosion. She's now asking for a retraction on Truth. Is that what I understand correctly?
She's asking for a deletion of Truth.
A deletion of Truth. Okay.
From multiple websites, by the way, not just 1819 News, Yellowhammer News, Alabama Daily News, as far as we know, and probably others.
Well, what's the premise?
She wants to move past the negativity of the campaign.
What? Okay. Move past the negativity of the campaign, meaning she wants to walk away from campaigning and pretend this never happened?
I don't know. It was a very strange letter. This is not a threat, although we're negotiators. Well, she has no bargaining leverage. She needs to get out of this. Let the adults run for lieutenant governor. It's just silly. It's bad for our politics.
It is. And by the way, I read your article and I saw the headline from her attorneys are Lambert Worldwide. Is that a real law firm?
Well, when we first saw it, we thought maybe it was AI generated.
Yeah.
But it turns out that wasn't the case after another investigation. But I think her alleged husband, isn't he an attorney?
Well, her alleged husband.
Oh, boy.
Oh, jeez.
Well, we don't know that they're legally married, even though she has taken his last name.
Okay, that was one of the articles was talking about whether or not there's actually even a marriage certificate anywhere on file. So that's never been confirmed?
That was a Grayson Everett of Yellowhammer News investigation.
Have mercy. I don't know what to say to all this, except your original question was, how much longer does she stay in? I'm pretty sure she's really not in. Maybe she thinks she is, but she's not. How about that? Dale, what are your thoughts?
I just, you know, say nothing. Just say nothing. You don't have to do anything here. Just be quiet and it'll go away. It'll fade into the background. And now you're doing this? I mean, I can tell by Jeff's voice he's irritated. You got more stories coming now, dum-dum.
So let me ask you this, Jeff. Is that in tone that you do have more stories coming?
We don't. I mean, because she's the only reason we're doing stories is because she's sending out stupid emails. But I think she has a total lack of self-awareness. She should never have gotten in this. In fact, based on what I've heard, she should not even be showing her face in the State House anymore because she does embarrassing things. But that being said, that shows me a total lack of self-awareness. She probably goes all the way to election or till primary day.
Okay, so here's my next question, though. Because her husband is a state representative, has he made any public statement at all about this stuff? Anything? Anything.
So he, it's funny you say that, and I don't know, still a Sunder, maybe he's listening, but Grayson Everett tells me that he's trying to get in touch with Representative Wadsworth, and he has been blocked. His calls do not go through.
He's been blocked on the phone?
Yes.
Okay. This thing is getting more bizarre by the minute. somebody with a modicum of common sense and a little bit of marketing background needs to tell them what spin is and how best to handle a crisis.
And let me ask you this, Senator. Yeah. Is it entirely possible that this is going for the worst? There's no reason for us to even be talking about her. If none of this had happened, we probably wouldn't be.
It didn't.
Maybe it's like a reverse psychology thing and run the most absolute worst atrocious campaign imaginable to man, and then now you get a segment on Right Side Radio.
Well, you know, well, you know, it's funny you say that because somebody in one of the text strings that we're on or something said something like, wait till y'all find out that she's actually playing 4D chess with all of us. And I'm thinking, what is that? Okay, let me destroy my character willingly. Is this like the old George Wallace rule that as long as they're spelling your name right, it's still good PR? I mean, surely not.
Todd Stacey called it the Streisand effect when she tried to get something deleted from the internet and then everybody wanted to go see what the heck she was talking about and it drummed up publicity.
Well, you know, the old rule is on social media, I say it's old, I really just coined it today, block the porn, but not the scorn. You gotta just let it ride, man. It's just unbelievable.
You know, there are other George Wallace rules she could follow that would be worse.
And I think we're going to move on to the next question.
Dale, the student of Alabama history.
Yes, exactly.
Wayman Burke ain't been that gone that long, has he?
All right, Goat Hill Scholar, what do you got for us? Next question, Dale, what do you got?
Okay, here's my question. And, you know, I wish I had a good question like Jeff's, but mine's actually about the mayor of New York race up there. When you're looking at this, are there guys like Woodfin and Stephen Reed who are reading that and going, good, I can go further. I can go further in my very blue city. I can do these things and still get elected. Or are they worried about the blowback nationally from something like that?
Well, that would, to borrow Jeff's term a minute ago, that would involve self-awareness. So first of all, no, I don't think Woodfin's going to be emboldened by a guy who won a primary that everybody looks at and sees as a total fluke, and yet there he is. But to back up the audience's understanding here, we talked about it a little bit earlier. This guy is a avowed Islamic radical who wants to defund the police, socialize everything, calls himself a socialist, and oh, by the way, even sympathizes with 9/11 attackers and says that he would arrest Netanyahu if he arrived in New York City. And that guy wants to be the mayor of New York City. Jeff, chime in.
New York has these weird sort of pendulum swings in their city politics going back to the last century.
Yeah.
And you look at it as it pertains to Woodfin and Reed and other so-called progressive mayors, it's like a different brand of progressivism. It's like checking boxes, and then next we're going to get to like these kind of white, these kids who are raised in white suburbs who move to the city because they want to make something of themselves, get these ideological kids on board, and it's such a different brand of left-wing fanaticism than what you see in Birmingham and Montgomery.
It's what Rush Limbaugh used to call skulls full of mush.
Yeah, I think so, and it's just it'll fade. Because this is really what I believe. I think New York just kind of goes back and forth, even though it's a little further to the left of the country.
Well, maybe it'll bring back the next Giuliani, which I know that liberals hate that idea. But Giuliani, I mean, the world was a better place when he was the mayor cleaning up New York City. I mean, say what you want to.
Yeah, it took a Dinkins to get a Giuliani, right?
That's exactly right. Okay, last question for this round from me here. So, AL.com. Wow. So, you guys ran a story, 1819 did, several others picked it up. It got picked up nationally. This guy, Rivar Karimi. Rivar Karimi is an Iranian illegal alien, allegedly came here on a K-1 visa to marry his sweetheart who he met playing Call of Duty while he was living in Iran.
Sure.
Yeah, but he's a former sniper in the Iranian army and still even had his ID card on him. Anyway, didn't do his paperwork right, and in the last 48 hours, among others that were arrested, he was swept up in Locust Fork, Alabama. Former Iranian sniper. AL.com is fawning over Rivar Karimi. All they can do is print wedding photos and claim that he is a loving husband who just is about to have a baby, and all they want is for the love, for the world to know the love of Rivar Karimi. How much longer can AL.com keep that kind of crap up and stay in business? Jeff, I'm going to let you chime in first on that one.
Well, they've been keeping it up for a better part of a decade now and stayed in business. But just remember this, Senator. AL.com is not writing for Dale Jackson, Phil Williams, or Jeff Poor. They're writing for, like, Northeast elites who want to, like, laugh at Alabama, man. It's a click farm. You got Lita Gore telling us where the next sale at TJ Maxx is going to be, what they got. And then you got, like, some very left-wingy sports coverage for whatever reason. And so it's not – other than that, it's written for people outside the state. It's not really for our consumption.
Dale, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's about right. I don't understand it either. I can't imagine anyone's looking at that and going, oh, what a great call. Great call, everyone. Good job. You guys did a fantastic job. But apparently at that newsroom, there are people saying, man, that was a really impressive story you wrote there about how black people live in Birmingham. I thought it was great. I was shocked by the whole thing, and I think it's really going to make an impact. But somebody wants to read that. I don't know why, but somebody does.
But this narrative, too, this Rivar Karimi is just a loving father, is the same narrative they used on that Abrego Garcia guy up in Maryland. He was just...
No, it's the same narrative they use on every guy that's arrested ever. Every single person arrested in these immigration raids is the greatest person ever.
Just a wonderful... Just a father.
Until the next day when you learn the whole story, and you're like, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew the second we read that story that that guy was on a K-1 visa should have been on a K-9 visa, number one, looking at his wife. Number two, the second thing I would say is that guy had some dirt going from the very beginning, and they just did not. They either 19 or 30 or whatever, 42 in Birmingham, whoever first wrote that story, they did not do their homework. I don't think they knew. I think they got embarrassed, and they should say so.
But it was so bad, there's no way they could even say they tried to do their homework. They literally went to his Facebook page, found the happy photos, put them up there, said, this is a wonderful man, a saint. How dare you arrest him? And then...
But here's the thing,
yeah,
though. None of this moves the needle for anybody, you know, who's reading it. Is like, if you're reading it, maybe you are one way or another. But this is such a tired exercise of, like, virtue signaling, trying to win. And no, it's not moving the needle, guys. Try something different.
I tend to agree with that.
Good luck. All right. That's the end of round one. We almost ran long. All right. Phil Williams, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. We're going back to the Grand Council, round number two. Don't forget, the Grand Council brought to you every week by DeKalb MD. That's DeKalb MD, Healthcare Simplified. I'll tell you more about DeKalb MD here in just a minute. All right, round two. First question, Jeff Poor, what you got?
The overtime tax expires next Tuesday.
You're taking
Tuesday.
All my questions, man. Taking all my questions.
Well, will we notice?
Say again?
Will we notice it? Will there be any ripple effect?
Well, so here's... Okay, so I'll jump on that for a minute because here's the odd conundrum. The overtime exemption tax in Alabama expires next week because the Republicans didn't think it was worthy of continuing it. And yet, the big, beautiful bill out of D.C. on the federal side includes an overtime tax cut that the future governor of Alabama, Tommy Tuberville, is touting as one of its greatest assets. So you got to look at this and go, Republicans in Alabama, do you figure out yet maybe you made a mistake? So I'm piling on the question here. First of all, I think they made a mistake. But will they remember it? I think once the overtime tax cut comes into play on the federal side, people are going to go, wait a minute, we didn't have this as a state? And it's going to be a campaign commercial at the very least. Dale?
I mean, a campaign commercial for who? I mean, the only people that I think could benefit from it are people that are going to look to challenge in a Republican primary. I mean, that would be the way to do it.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, and so that's where you'd be able to get them. It's not going to hurt Tuberville, so I don't think that's going to matter.
It's going to hurt some of your listening area, though. You know you got some purple districts up there in Huntsville that are going to wind up having even Democrats campaigning on it.
I mean, are Democrats going to come out and say, I want what's in the big, beautiful bill? I don't think
smart. No, but Anthony Daniels was the
bill
guy
sponsor.
Who got it passed.
I mean, unless he's going to run for Tom Butler's seat, which is a very good likelihood. Maybe that happens. Maybe there is something there. But I agree with you. It should have been done. I'm surprised they didn't do it. I thought it was silly that they didn't do it. I've said that a thousand times.
It was low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer. It was simple. And they punted it away. But I just don't know how much it hurts them. I mean, that's the question. I just don't think it hurts them that much.
So your own thoughts, Jeff, your question, what are you thinking?
I don't know the answer to that because I don't know how many people are benefiting from it. But because we live in this sort of time in Alabama when people don't really aren't as engaged on state politics. But if you're ever going to get them aware, I guess you start hitting that paycheck – And so how much money is it? Will it be a ripple effect? For us, it's an ideological thing, right? Like, you know, we have a Republican Party that supports, like, weird things like gambling and, I don't know, government, the growth of government and more education spending. And it's just that this is what they decided to back away from. But I wonder if there will be, like, a real, like, political fallout because somebody's getting shortchanged on their paycheck. Well,
so here's where I think it's going to come back to bite them. Even if it doesn't come back to bite them fully in the election cycles, here's where I think it's going to come back to bite them. If the governor is Tommy Tuberville, who just called for it and said he wants this and said he's going to vote for it because in part of this at the federal level, and then he becomes the governor and he's a very vocal governor, the kind who can actually crack the whip and say, I'd like to get something done here, guys. They're going to hear about this again because I guarantee you he can't say it was great on the federal side, but we don't need it at the state side.
I wish we lived in the world you think we live in. I mean, I really do. What I mean by that is I wish the average person connected things the way you're connecting it. And I just don't think that's exactly what happened.
I didn't say the average person. I said Tommy Tuberville.
In order for it to matter, the voters are going to have to care. And I don't know if this has that kind of cut through.
Maybe if there's a Tuberville governor making noise and an 18-19 news making noise and a right side making noise, maybe Dale Jackson will get on board too and it'll happen.
Well, if only you could drag me kicking and screaming to an issue I completely agree with.
We got 1 minute left. JL, what's your question? What you got, bud?
April Weaver, she says, no, we're going further on the THC stuff. I don't mind. I think that's completely fine. We also have marijuana raids happening around the state. Are those marijuana raids a sign to the vape shop owners that, hey, we're watching for what happens here in, 7 days?
it's more than the vape shops. There's like ale.com again. They've never met a weed they didn't like, but they've got all kinds of articles about how scary it is that hip shops are closing down and THC and the whatever. I think they better be paying attention because...
But is it an intentional signal?
Yeah, I think it's an intentional signal. Okay. I think law enforcement doesn't act unintentionally.
The AL.com story, the Green Plug in Decatur.
Green Plug!
Is moving, I understand, out of state. And I think
big doings.
They heard the Green Plug and they thought it was another kind of store.
Oh my God. Did you just, listen, on my show, and the music's playing, and on that note...
I'm just mad I didn't think of it.
Jeff loses for the day. All right, you guys, appreciate both of you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio with Dale Jackson, Jeff Poor, just little old me. We call it the Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.